You're listening to The Plumbing Sales Coach, where we give companies the strategies and skills to create a massive customer following. Fresh. Thank you for making us part of Spotify's top 10% most shared and followed podcast. And now, your host, Chris.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Fresh Approach. I'm your host, CF, the Plumbing Sales Coach, and today we're going to talk about head trash. Today we're going to talk about the thing that keeps us from being great. It's us getting in our own way. It's us putting things in our own head. It's us believing things that may or may not be true, and we never take the time to be logical about it. We get emotional about it, and it absolutely disrupts the successes, the outcomes, and all of the things that we really want to achieve. And this can happen for a multitude of reasons. So today we're going to talk about that. That is going to be the focus, and I hope that at the end of this podcast, you are refreshed and re-energized in a way that you can go in without blinders and do whatever it is that you do. If you're a service plumber, you'll stop shopping for the customer. You'll stop telling yourself that they don't want something or that they do want something. If you're an owner, you'll stop telling yourself that you can't do it, that there's some reason in your market, some reason in your company, something to do with the customer, something to do with the employee as to why you can't be successful. Because at the end of the day, people that I've worked with all across the US, in Canada, in Australia, in the UK, and all over the world, we have literally helped owners build their companies in a way that attracts customers and attracts employees. And we do that by putting the right culture together, by putting the right processes into your business and teaching your team how to give the customer an amazing experience. And the thing that we run into often, the thing that keeps people from that greatness, is buy-in because of the head trash they're telling themselves. You know, I got so many plumbers out there that will start out in the program and say, oh, you just want us to rip people off. You just want us to sell people stuff. And then as they go through the understanding and they go through the education and information they need to make a different come to a different conclusion, what we find is it's a misunderstanding. It's a core wrong definition. Look, if you're somebody who is stuck right now, there's a good chance, in fact, by good chance, I mean, there's 100% chance that there's something that is core in you that's defined incorrectly. I'll give you a great example. I used to misunderstand what respect is. I thought it was something you demanded. I thought it was something you controlled. I thought it was something that you got when you had power. And what I found over the years is that that's absolutely not the case. That's a poor definition. Well, that definition is going to cause me to behave a certain way with my kids, with my wife, with my employees, with my coworkers, with whoever I'm interacting with in the world. And the thing I learned later on in life was it's not about control. It's not about power. It's about influence. See, control is demanded, influence is gained. And you take a different approach to gain that influence. And when you have that influence, that's when you actually have the ability to make impact. And whether that be in your family or your company, wherever that is, whatever social ecosystem you involve yourself in, a social ecosystem is a group of people with like-mindedness. Could be a chess club, could be a key club, could be a book club, could be a plumbing company, could be a bowling league, could be a church, could be a school, could be anything you belong to. That's a social ecosystem. And inside that social ecosystem, there's a culture. And that culture gets railroaded all the time by misunderstandings, by assumed motives. And so how do we break through that? How do we break through that? You know, a lot of times what I like to do is, and in fact, if you're ever out there in the world on the internet and you're searching something, the problem is the way that you search will give you the result. Meaning if I say, tell me all the reasons why Disney World is the best, my page will be flooded with a bunch of people who love Disney World. And they'll tell me all the reasons why it's great. If I type into that same search bar, why does Disneyland suck? Why does Disney World suck? I'm going to get a bunch of researches and queries that basically lead me to the direction of people who don't like Disney World and Disneyland. I get stuck in that silo. And so the way that we process things, the way that we question things can also affect the outcome. For example, if I'm looking at something and I'm someone who's optimistic all the time and I constantly think that something's going to work and it won't work and it doesn't work, maybe it's your 100th business, maybe it's your 100th idea that doesn't work, you need to start asking yourself, why won't this work? Because you've already have a habit of asking yourself how this will work, and you come up with all the reasons. But if you started just simply changing the way you think about it, why won't this work, you're going to process it through a totally different lens. Look, if you're a believer in God and then someone else is not a believer in God and they both look at the same tree, the same evidence, they're going to come to a different conclusion. It's not possible to come to the same conclusion because of the core definitions written inside of them. And if you're listening right now and this is resonating with you, man, I really want you to start thinking through, what definitions do I have written incorrectly? Is it that all customers are cheap? That nobody wants to spend money? All customers are price conscious? Because that's not been my experience. And again, I don't say this to boast. I'm just telling you from an experience standpoint, from what I've seen. I've literally been in almost probably every state in this country and ran calls. I've been in Canada and I've ran calls. I've been in small markets, large markets. I've been in towns where there's 900 people and a stop sign. And I've been in cities where it takes 30 minutes to get three blocks because of the traffic. I've seen it all. I remember one owner told me, hey, I think the economy's affecting things. I said, let's find out. So I came down there and did a shop visit, ran calls. Everybody went with option 3. No joke. On that particular visit, I think there was something else going on there where maybe the owner was getting a little bit of pie put in their face. Maybe there was something else at work there to get everybody to go with the biggest option for those couple of days I was there. But people were willing to spend money, excited to spend money, and leaving reviews about what a great experience they had. So what's different there? Why is it, in one sense, an entire company, all the way up to the owner, can come to this conclusion that it's the economy, and then one person can go down there and prove that it's not the economy? The only difference, I didn't believe it. They had sold themselves. They had put the mind trash in their own head that the economy was affecting things. Here's what I know. No matter what social, financial class you're looking at, whether it's the poor, the middle class, or the rich, inside of all of those, you will always find waste, meaning you will always find people who are spending money on things that's wasteful. Now, some of that's perspective. Maybe I wouldn't spend my money on that, so I see that as wasteful, and sometimes it's literally just wasteful. And what I've found is that there's really three things that'll get somebody to move and change their buying habit. Meaning, I'm not spending money today till I am spending money today. I'm not going to buy something till I am going to buy something. And it comes down to three things. One is value. And I'm not talking about the value they get from buying the product, but their core values. Some people buy Bibles because it aligns with their core values. Some people donate to churches because it aligns with their core values. Some people don't do business with certain places because it goes against their core values. But values can absolutely change buying habits. You need to look no further than Bud Light and a few other companies that went through it, Target, that were in the center of the national limelight, to where people started making a decision if they're going to shop there or do business with them based on values. That's number one. Number two is the experience you're going to have. I'm willing to wait 3 months for that restaurant, even though I'm hungry today. I'm willing to call ahead and get reservations because I want that experience. I can't get that experience anywhere else. Obviously, everyone else wants that experience. That's why they're booked out. An experience could be something premium. An experience could be a movie. Look. You start rubbing the value, or taking that value I just said, along with that experience, and you start putting them together, and you start coming up with things like Disney World, for example. Now, you might not like Disney World. If you've listened to the podcast enough to know, you know my family now has a second home there, basically. We're down there too much. But I like the service and the experience I get. And I like the value of, see, I grew up in Southern California at Disneyland, the original. And I want my kids to now experience the same things that I experienced. That's a value. While I'm having an experience. Now I've got two things on the list that are being accomplished by going to one place. The third one is the deal. A deal. A deal can get someone to move the needle. This is why scams work. Because the deal is too good to be true. And it gets you to make a decision. Okay, emotional decisions get made sometimes with the deal. Now, when you combine all three of these, the value, the experience, and the deal, man, you really shift buying habits. Okay, you can really shift buying habits. This is why crypto took off. Someone has a value of providing for their family. The experience of crypto is a rush. It's the new thing. It's the new gold mine. and I'm getting a deal. I buy this little token, this Bitcoin, this Solace coin, this Ripple. I don't know. So many of them. It's like XRC, YAT, KLY. I don't know. All of them. But you get it for 0.00000000000008 cents on the dollar. And then the hope is one day it's worth a dollar and you have 10 million of them. Okay, that's the deal you're buying. And it gets people to invest a ton of money. And I think if we were to look historically, there's been a few booms. But for the most part, people have lost a lot of assets inside of crypto. But people keep buying it. You had the stock memes that came around a while back, AMC, and the deals that you... This gets people to move. And I'm telling you all this because you can go into a home and you can tell someone they need a new water heater. And if you don't build any value, now I'm talking about the value and the benefits and features, you know, what they're going to get out of their investment, the return on investment, right? When they buy a new water heater from you. When you go in there and say, you just need a new water heater because it's leaking. And they say, okay, well, is there any way to fix it? You go, no, it can't be fixed. It has to be replaced. Well, how much is it? $2,600. And they say, well, I'm going to shop around. They're not being price conscious. They just don't trust they're getting the full value for their dollar. They don't trust you. And it's not even a personal attack. They just don't see what they're getting for their money. If you come into my office right now and go, hey, spend $500 with me, I'm going to need to know what I'm getting from a $500. Okay, we bought, just as an example, in our studio, they have this rail system thing. I'm not really all that into this. My audio and visual team love it. Sonia is a geek about this stuff. And she's like, got to get this thing. And it moves while you're talking. You can catch sight angles and all this cool stuff. And it's great because I've seen the outcome of the videos, the training videos, and now it's like more interactive, more engaging. That was, $2,500, the one she was showing me. And then there was another one that was $1,200. And then she found one that was for $800. And it was the same one, but it had been used or something. And I said, yeah, let's get that. That's $800. Let's get that. I didn't really plan on getting that, but let's get it. Now, today, right before we started this episode, we have a mastermind coming up in a couple days where we have 30 different companies coming into town. They're going to be at the mastermind. This is only limited. This is a private event only for companies in our program. So don't reach out to come to the mastermind. But anyways, they're coming. And we have this mic, lapel mic, that we're going to record some of the stuff. And she's saying the battery might go out. We might not have enough battery. And so I said, okay, well, how much is the battery? It's $300. I'm like, man, all right, $300. What are we getting for that $300? Well, we get a couple more hours of recording time in the day. So then I have to reassess, like, are we even going to be recording that much? Nah, probably not. We're good. We don't need it. So in one case, I spent $800 on something that I didn't know I needed. Still not sure I needed it, but you know what I'm saying. Now I'm looking at $300. I said yes to $800. I said no to $300. So it's not money. It's not the cost. If I told you how much I spent on the Disney World vacation, we'd all throw up. It's not the money. What am I getting for the money? Now, once I know what I'm getting for the money, I have to go look to see if I have that money to invest. But first, what am I getting for the money? See, this head trash that we have in our head that customers don't want to spend money or they don't want to buy things. They don't want to buy things from you. No offense, but also offense. It's not about what you think. It's not what you would buy. It's not what you would do. It's what they would do. I guarantee if I go through their home, I'm going to find a bunch of things that are in alignment with how you spend your money. And I'm also going to find a bunch of things that are not in alignment with how you spend your money. And so don't make this decision for them. If someone goes to Best Buy right now to buy batteries for their remote, for their TV, they also are still allowed to walk down the TV aisle. They don't have to buy a TV, but they're allowed to. Comes with a remote, and it probably comes with the batteries. So don't hold your customer back because it's 12 years old and it can be rebuilt. Educate them. It's 12 years old. You probably got a couple more years on this. One of the solutions is we can rebuild it. One of the solutions is we can replace it. And let them choose. See, we don't do that head trash. I've had so many technicians say, they don't want it. Nah, they don't want nothing. They just want us to wave our wand and make it work again. But what happens is we wave that wand and they don't buy nothing. Because there's no wand. And so what we have to do is take the time to ask questions to understand what they're really concerned about, and ask questions to understand what they really are after. I was just doing a service manager workshop this week. If you go back on our Facebook page, you'll see all the posts and all the pictures and all the fun. And it's probably 3 or 4 weeks ago because these podcasts are a little bit delayed and when they get released. But if you see all the people in the room, we're all in there, and we had this one particular call where a technician was on the call. And he offered a water heater and a water heater and expansion tank. Never told the customer about tankless or any of that kind of stuff. I was on the phone with the customer talking about some different things. And she mentioned the water heater. I said, oh, yeah, have you ever heard of tankless? And she's like, no, what's that? And I explained it to her. And then I'm like, it may not be for you, though. They're considerably more expensive. I want to make sure I price condition so we don't have this 30-minute conversation about a tankless. And she's like, how much are they? And I go, $6,000. And she's like, what? So I'm like, you know, they're 2 to 3 times more than a water heater easily. They're definitely more expensive. And I said, but they're green and they're futuristic, meaning they have app technology and they're digital. They're basically computers. I said, is that even something that you would normally buy? Like, is that the kind of stuff that you buy? And she goes, yeah, absolutely. And she told me all about her washing machine and how it's a computer and she can do it from her app on her phone. And she's geeking out on this. She's loving it. And actually my wife has one. She always talks about her favorite thing about stoves is that you can somehow know that it's preheated, I guess, before, and you don't even have to go in the kitchen and then you can change it to bake. I don't know. She just loves that stuff. I'm like, you still have to go to the washing machine. You still have to go. She loves that stuff. Now, if the sales rep at Lowe's doesn't offer my wife that washing machine, we're going to go somewhere else till we find something that engages her. This lady was not excited about a water heater. In fact, I talked to this lady before we even went out the first time. I talked to her twice. The first time I talked to her, she thought we could just replace a gasket on the water heater. She thought the gasket underneath was leaking. And I said, well, if there was a gasket down there, it would have melted a long time ago. There's no gaskets. It's all steel. So she's not excited about a water heater. She don't even know what an expansion tank is, but she's geeking out on this tankless. Now, what if the technician doesn't offer the tankless? One of two things happens. She either buys the water heater and then regrets it later when she finds out her friend has a tankless and then wonders why that company didn't offer it. Maybe they don't know stuff. Or she does nothing. She gets a second opinion. They tell her about the tankless, and then she buys it from them. And why? The tech decided that he wanted to save her money. The tech decided she didn't have money. The tech decided that she didn't want it. The tech decided, oh, she's a little bit older. I'm not even going to bring this up. Who are we to, what are we, Nostradamus in the home? How do we know? Our job is to seek to understand. Our job is not to go in there and be tyrants and tell them how to plumb their home. Our job is to go in there and find out what they want, educate them to fill the gap of what they don't know about, and then find out what they want after that. You think that all these customers are aware what softeners are, or they know about quarter turn shutoffs, or they know about tanklesses? Some do, but most don't. I wish they did. Our job would be a lot easier, but they don't. And we go in with this head trash telling ourselves the customer doesn't want to spend money. The customer can't afford it. People don't like them. Look, you want to get better at this game right here, you're going to have to get good at diagnosing. The only way you get good at diagnosing is product knowledge and technical understanding, meaning I understand how the product works and functions so I can communicate it, and then I know how to install it, and I know how to repair it, and I know how to work on it. And if there's something holding you back, go find out what that is. Stop telling yourself that it's not for you or it's not for your customer, it's not for your market, and go get educated. And I taught you how to do that at the beginning of the show. Reverse the way that you naturally think. Look at it from both angles. What's great about it? What's not great about it? Go get the experience for yourself. Go to the supply shop. Talk to those guys. Find out what products they have. Install one in your shop. There's so many different ways. For $800, you can go buy a softener and install it in your shop and see if you like them. 2-3 months. You can go install a tankless. Have your guys uninstall it and reinstall it until they're comfortable with it and understand how it works. But this, like, we, you know, this idea of, well, we just don't offer those, then you shouldn't be in business. I mean, I don't want to go to Best Buy if all they sell is everything but the TV. I want to go somewhere that they offer everything in that particular industry. Okay, I want to go somewhere. If you say you provide a service, then provide it all the way through. And if you're a technician and some of the guys on your team offer things and you don't, go find out what's up. What are you missing? Stop being hard-headed and thinking that you got it all figured out. Be open-minded. Seek to understand, learn more, get experience, and then make a more informed, wise decision on how you're going to perceive that. It all starts with a poor definition on the inside. It's all up in your head, and it's keeping you from greatness. It is keeping you from the results you want. This is the stuff we talk about in the program. We just did a training 2 days ago with all of the techs and all of the program, a live training where we have them all come on, and we talked about this idea of price conditioning, but not in the sense of telling people how much it costs, but really separating yourself from the competition. Because there's a lot of people out there that'll go, people don't want to spend $350 for a drain cleaning because someone down the street's offering it for $68. Well, when I go on that call, all I have to do is explain to them how I'm going to go about it, and I already know for a fact that's going to be different than what they've experienced or what the other person's going to say. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to choose me, even at the higher price. And then on top of that, I realize that I'm up against that stuff. So I look for diagnosing moments where I can find some other things that are similar to the problem they're currently experiencing. And I help them see that and help them value that. And then maybe even I give them a deal. Maybe if I went out there for one toilet rebuild, but now I'm replacing 3 toilets, maybe that 3rd toilet has a discount on it. Or maybe all 3 toilets are full price, but now I'm just going to go ahead and throw the shutoffs in while I'm here. And then somebody out there, the 1%, is going to go, well, that's dangerous. One of those shutoffs. You're a plumber. You can handle it. Whatever it is, you're a plumber. You got this. Stop. Swap out the shutoffs. For every 100 jobs, you'll run into some problems. I get it. But not all the time. You don't have to get paid on everything. Okay, every little thing in that home isn't a dollar. There is a reality that you can go out there and spend the day getting that home right for a decent amount of revenue while they still benefit. Costco proved this model. You know, a lot of people think wholesale is this idea for just business to business. Costco is making billions off of the wholesale game to the consumer. There are a lot of people that go to Costco because they'll buy the cow instead of the gallon of milk, and they get a better deal. If you go to the store and buy one energy drink, it's going to be more expensive than if you buy 2. It's going to be more expensive than if you go over to Walmart and buy 6. It's going to be more expensive than if you go over to Costco and buy 24. Right? Same things here. Like, if you just want to do one fill valve, one toilet, one shutoff, it's going to be more expensive per item. But let me show the customer how that problem exists in more than just one area. And let me show the customer how they can save money by doing more now. Eliminating future risk and future things. And I see customer after customer. We have this Voxer chat where we have all of our companies, all the owners in, and then we have all the service managers in. Right now, this morning, chat after chat after chat, it's unbelievable. These guys came out of a service manager workshop. 6 of the companies are in there just talking about how everyone's buying option 3. Everyone's just wants it all. I had one owner go, man, I'm so excited because we can't sleep at night if we don't take care of someone, meaning if they sell something that someone shouldn't have had, or they overcharge someone, or they screw someone over, anything, they can't, they're like, they hate that. So it's not about the money for them. It's not about selling more stuff for them. But she said, our customers are genuinely excited that they're getting this deal. Yeah, they're spending another $5,000 more than they thought they were today, but they're getting so much more for the money, and they see the value in it. They see the experience that they're having as they're making this purchase, and then they're given this opportunity to save money in a deal, and it's boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, and it's home run after home run after home run. And that home is a neighbor to the home that you went to, and they only wanted to do the fill valve. And then they thought you were too expensive for the fill valve. It's head trash. It's head trash. There's a lot of restaurants I wouldn't spend $5 in. There's other restaurants I would spend $500 in. There's restaurants I'll spend $1,000 in. While we're at it, anyone that knows me that's around me all the time knows, they'll say, well, Chris would prefer to spend $500 for the meal than $50 for the meal because I ain't getting nothing for my $50. Maybe cancer. But I'm not getting nothing. It's garbage food. No offense to the restaurants out there. You're not going to convince me that the Waffle House steak is as good as the Ruth Chris steak. And I don't like Ruth Chris, but whatever. See, it's all about the value being conveyed. It's not how much, it's what I'm getting for how much. Get out of your heads. Get out of your heads. Be empathetic. Ask questions. Seek to understand. Stop thinking you have it all figured out. Okay? Work on this journey with your customer. Show them what they can benefit from. And they'll They'll take you up on it. As long as you're genuine and authentic, you don't have to be a salesman. Don't be a salesman. No closing lines, no smooth lines, no say this so they'll say that. None of that crap. Just be you. You've been selling since you were born, convincing your parents for things. Then you met a significant other and convinced them you were awesome. Then you convinced your current employer you were awesome. You've been selling your whole life. There's something sold in every conversation. Sometimes it's, think I'm cool. So I have this guy tell you an awesome story about this time that I did this thing because I want you to think I'm cool. There is always something being sold in every conversation. It's just when money gets in the middle of it all, it gets a little weird, gets a little awkward. Take the money out. Let budget decide all that. Take the money out. Just go analyze the plumbing. Have a conversation with your customer. Seek to understand what they want. Educate them and inform them how the plumbing system works. Get really good at explaining things in non-plumbing terms, meaning find things in the regular world that work like things in the plumbing world so customers can make sense of it. For example, I tell customers everything in the home is a miniature dam. It's just stopping water. Fill valves stop water until you want them to let water in. Cartridges stop water until you want them to come in. Shut off stop water when you want them to. They're open when you want water to come in. It's just a bunch of miniature dams. So when I get into a PRV conversation, I tell them the PRV is the Hoover Dam. Everybody knows what the Hoover Dam is. Some of you are out there selling pressure reducing valves. I'm selling Hoover Dams. My customers can buy mine because they know what a Hoover Dam is. Some of your customers are still confused on why they would need a pressure reducing valve and they never needed one before. I'm telling you right now, this is the secret. This is the thing that will take you. It'll double, it'll triple. Whatever your ticket average is right now, it'll double or triple it. It'll take your conversion rate up to 90%. We see that all the time. And I don't mean like we have one guy at each company that's doing 90%. We have companies that are averaging 90%. Okay, that's a big difference. That means even the guy that's not that great is killing it. I remember we went into one shop and they had a guy there that was like a 60, 50% conversion rate, $283 ticket average. Left out of that company, $1,300 ticket average, 90% conversion rate. Man, what's possible for you? Get out of your head. It's not that you're not good at sales. It's not that the customer doesn't want to spend money. It's that you've already decided, and so you're not doing the things that I just said. You're not building the value, and you're not seeking to understand. You've decided already. You're just trying to get in and get out. And what you're going to get is a price objection, almost always. All right, listen. You guys want more information about this? Look, reach out to us. We have an $800 training course that we're giving away for free right now. It's all on building relationships. It's the three fears that every customer deals with, and we're showing you how to obliterate those and overcome those before you even get to the point where you're asking for the business, asking for the sale, showing them the options. Reach out to us. We'll give you that training for free. No strings attached. We'll get you a login. You log into a back office. We unlock the training. It's all right there. You do it. It's wonderful. It's amazing. Theplumbingsalescoach.com. Again, that's theplumbingsalescoach.com. Right there on the main page, click I want more information, hook me up, make it work, whatever the button says. A little form's going to pop up, ask you for your name, number, address, and email address, and then it's going to say, what's your biggest problem? You're going to say, I want that relationships training, hook me up, give it to me, where's it at, and then we'll reach out and get you a login, and we'll get you all hooked up. It comes with full worksheets and activity sheets. It's it's a course we sold for $7.97 for a long time. We're just going to give it away because we want to help serve your community and everything. We're trying to be the first example. Listen, we love you. We want the best for you. Get out of your own head. Stop getting in your own way. Change your mindset. Change your life. Guaranteed. Remember, serve your community and everything, not just plumbing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Plumbing Sales Coach Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check us out on the web at theplumbingsalescoach.com.